Good morning, everyone. My name is Mick. I'm an alcoholic. I'm terrible with names, so I have a lot of them. Some people know me as Mike Ruane. That's also my name. It's a real name, mix a nickname. I got sober here in Tampa in 1989 at 3333 Columbus, and Kevin Borland is my sponsor. He was sober 7 years when he had the great pleasure of meeting me, and he's still sober, and he's still my sponsor. He lives over in Clearwater, Florida. He's still alive, thank God. And that's the deal. Don't drink, don't die, and you get to come up here and tell your story. But I know the clock's ticking. You know, the clock's ticking. I'm gonna try not to bore. I have nothing prepared as usual. I have nothing prepared, but I am prepared to speak about Alcoholics Anonymous anytime, and I never say no to Alcoholics Anonymous. So when Blair said, "Hey, we only have one celebrant, will you speak for 15 minutes?" I said, "I can do that." And what am I going to tell you? You know what? Coming in here, I'm really happy to be here because there's just walking in here and seeing the crowd that's here, seeing, you know, I've been to the YPG before. And I know a few of you people. I've known a few of you people a long frickin' time. 30 of your lives, some of you, because you're all so goddamn young still. I mean, you know, when I tell people in Chicago that I went to a YPG meeting, they'll be like, "What are you doing, Chicken Hawk? What the hell are you doing there?" Like, you know, looking for my fourth ex-wife? I don't know. I mean, I got kidnapped. I was dragged here against my will. No, I mean, this is an amazing place because there's people here that I know that have 8 years and, you know, they're not 30 years old yet. My oldest son just turned 30 on Saturday, and I'm 61. I turned 61 on November 2nd of last year, so I'm really freaking old. I never in a million years thought I'd ever get this old. Much less be sober for nearly a quarter of a century. I mean, that just was not on my list of things to do, or even would I find it advisable. I mean, if you drank like I did and someone said to you, "Well, you're going to go a period of your life, you're not going to have a beer for 25 years," I'd be like, "Why? Why and how could that happen to somebody? And why are you saying it's like it's a good thing? Why are you smiling and leering at me like, you know, you guys all know the joke. I mean, you're all, it's, AA is like an inside joke. It really is. It's like a secret family recipe that everybody knows is really fucked up, and you get somebody new in, and you're like, "Hey, you ought to try some of Aunt Betsy's cookies. They're really good." And everybody's laughing, and, you know, and the new guy's like, "Really? I'll try one, you know." It's like that. Everybody knows the joke. Everybody's on the inside. It's a giant family. And I'm closer to some people in AA than I am to a lot of members of my family because they've been there for me, you know. And I've had some good times in AA a lot. And a lot of it was due to the enthusiasm and efforts and just the funbunctiousness of y'all, people like you, wherever you are, because I didn't come here with any of that. I didn't have any enthusiasm for Alcoholics Anonymous really ever. I did not want to come here because I knew the terrible truth about AA, and that is that people come here and they do a few simple things and they never drink again. Ever. Forever. They die sober. Like Dick Drysdale did, you know, after, you know, being picked up in a motel 40, 50 years ago or whatever and dragged to a meeting. And he never drank again. He didn't know he was going to not drink that day because he told me that. And I didn't have much hope when I came here for myself to not drink because I drank like it was my job. I drank like a professional, you know. I took days off like New Year's and St. Patrick's Day and I took days off once in a while, but mostly I drank from the minute I woke up until I passed out or stopped drinking for some odd reason. The law, the party ended, the police showed up. Something happened to stop me. But it wasn't because I had enough. I never, ever had enough of anything, you know. I was reminded that, you know, more is the problem. It isn't heroin or cocaine or alcohol. That's also an inside joke. That's also the bad news about this place. You get here for drinking too much and all these terrible things happening to you. Long list of jails, hospitals, institutions. And then they tell you, drinking's not the problem. Alcohol's not the problem. Even though it says on your record, you better stop drinking. They don't even know. Everybody that ever knew you said, please stop drinking. Even all the psychiatrists and doctors and nurses and judges and cops and all your friends and your mom and your sister and everyone else that you gave a shit about you said, please stop drinking. Alcohol's not your problem. Well, that's not a hopeful thing to say to an alcoholic, because they came here probably to stop drinking, not because they wanted to stop drinking, because they just got to the end of whatever terrible thing they'd had, and they were, you know, and that's the game. You know, I haven't gotten very far away from that the whole time I've been sober. I spent a few years in the front end where I didn't really do much with wet drunks and didn't do much with other alcoholics, because I didn't really want to, and I didn't, you know, and I had other ideas. You know, now I'm sober, I got to make a bunch of money and do all this other stuff, and then, you know, but alcoholism is a strange deal, and Alcoholics Anonymous is a strange deal. It will be here when no one else is, you know, when the dog dies, when your sponsor runs off with your girlfriend, when your mom, you know, passes on to the beyond, and you're lost your third house and whatever bankruptcy you go through, you lost your multi-billion dollar company, AA will be here for you. And I've been sober with money, and I've been sober broke. It's better with money. There's no secrets in AA. You know, that's the thing. You know, the people outside have secrets. They're like, oh, you don't want to talk about that here. You don't want to bring that. That happened a long time ago. Don't talk about that. It's so embarrassing. Don't say that. Oh, don't go in. Are you going to say that story again? I hate that story. You know, that's how normal people are. They run from the truth of what gets people here because they don't want any part of that kind of suffering. Nobody wants the suffering that we pay big money for, huge money for, travel around the world to do, get all our friends to join in if we can, and lose, you know, who knows what? Your life, if you're like me, you easily lose your life. I almost lost my life a bunch of times before I was 27 due to drinking and drugs and car crashes and God knows what all, just crazy stuff. Some of it wasn't even my fault. I mean, you know, I was drinking and I was there, but holy shit, I didn't throw the guy through the window. I didn't call the police. You know. It wasn't me, officer. That's not me on the tape. That's, you know, so you get here, and then what happens? Oh, all the ugly, you know, delusions are peeled away. Alcohol is not your problem. You're a selfish, immature idiot. You can't make decisions for yourself. You should call your sponsor before you have breakfast, because you don't even know where to go for breakfast, you know. I was so tired of being wrong about everything. But, you know, even a broken watch is right twice a day, you know. And I did one thing right in Alcoholics Anonymous. I never stopped going to these dumb, stupid meetings. I never stopped talking to other alkies in the program. I never stopped calling alcoholics. And thank God they never stopped calling me. And I try to answer the phone, or at least return a call, because the telephone rings at the most bizarre times. You know, the alcoholic will call you at the most bizarre times. A lot of times, while I'm in a meeting, for some reason, I can't call me all day long, but as soon as I go in a meeting, the phone blows up from three sponsees. I don't know how to explain what happened to me. I don't know how to explain to you how I got sober, really. It's a miracle. And I know that I come to these meetings to see other miracles. and you're sitting there. Some of you, I know your stories because for some reason, I go to a meeting and I hear someone speak or I hear them tell their story. I don't remember their name. I don't even remember what meeting it was, but I'll remember that story and that face. You know, our brains are so wired. Cheers. She gave me the five-minute warning. Thank God. I don't think I have, I don't even have that many jokes left, so I'm going to try to wrap this up. But I want to tell you, without enthusiasm, without any kind of crazy, I love AA, I owe my life to AA, fuck all that, you know. Just, I'm not gonna say any of that. I never wanted any of that when I came here. I didn't, you know, all that Salvation Army do-gooder, help somebody, holy water, sprinkling, freaking la-la, whatever. I hate all that stuff. I always did. And because it doesn't have any depth and weight. And I found out there's a lot of other alcoholics, desperately hopeless alcoholics, who don't want any part of that either. And I don't have a resentment against God. I don't have, and I thank the people who own this church, whatever capitalist organization runs this place. I thank them. I thank them for their kindness to allow us to gather here. I have nothing against the Gaudy God Methodist people and any of that. You know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not that bitter. I am still a little angry, though. But not because I can't have a drink, you know. I don't want a drink today. How what a miracle is that, you know? I got so many fucking problems. A drink's not going to help me, even at my age. It isn't even going to make me forget. It's not going to help a goddamn thing. And this is something my mother told me when I was in my 20s, and I was drinking tequila in front of her like a friggin' lunatic. She goes, you know, that's not going to help anything. I said, oh, yes, it is. At the time, I tried to lie to my mother and tell her it was going to help, but I think she knew the score. She knew what she was dealing with. She wasn't an alcoholic, but she was trying to give me fair warning. I kept on drinking another 10 years, but what am I trying to say, you know? I'm going to try to wrap it up. What am I trying to say? This thing is really, really freaking simple, you know? It's not about booze. It's not about drugs. It's about the connections between people and you finding a little hope, or me finding a little hope, or the desperate MF-er that stumbles through that door next. It has no hope, and he finds a little hope in here. I don't know how that's transferred, but keep on doing it because you've been doing it as long as I've known you, and I thank you. My name's Mike Ruane.